What an encouragement. Amen. Aren't you glad you've discovered He's a very present help in time of trouble? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I just feel like a lot of folks have that deep cry. It hadn't come out yet, but you've got a deep cry from deep within. Oh, Lord, I've got to have your help. Yes, amen. Amen. And I trust before we're finished tonight, you'll be crying out to Him and letting Him help you. Again, good to see everybody in the house of the Lord tonight. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm not going to re-preach last Sunday evening's message on resist the wrecker, but I want to extend that just a little bit for a few moments. I'm not going to be offering an exposition tonight. I just want to share one thought with you. And if you would stand for the reading of God's Word, Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read one verse, verse 27. In fact, we don't do this very often, but it's so short. Would you read this with me tonight, everyone in the building, out loud? Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Let's read it one more time. Neither give place to the devil. I want to preach tonight on getting the ground back. Getting the ground back. Do not give place to the devil. Stretch forth a hand this way and pray that God would anoint. Father, tonight I pray you'd speak to us. Father, may the Holy Spirit be here and take over the preaching and the words that are shared. God, move in the hearts of the hearers. May there be eternal victories tonight. Lord, you know every need that's represented in this place. You know exactly, Lord, what we need to hear from heaven. You'd help us, Lord. Help me, oh God, to speak your truth. God, and help us, Lord, to make a stand against the enemy that would even work right now, God, to keep people from receiving the help they need to receive. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I don't want to bore you, but I just can't help when I read Scripture in the New Testament to start delving into where did that word come from. And I think the emphasis here is when Paul said, neither give place to the devil. Brother, could we go back to that text? Neither give place to the devil. And the word place, again, I'm not going to bore you, but is actually topos. And if I ask you to think long enough, you could think of an English word that we get from topos. Has anyone thought of it yet? Topography. That's the art of making maps. And what do you do on a map? You locate places. You draw and you graph the place. You see what Paul was saying. In every one of us, in our hearts, there is the possibility that we can give up a place, a spot of our hearts, a specific area of our life to Satan. And the command is simply this. When he says, neither give place to the devil, it simply, in modern English, means don't give ground to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. Don't allow him to make a beachhead in your life. I've read quite a few books about the Civil War and World War I and World War II and some of the other battles. And you know, sometimes you marvel at the smallness of the place they fight over. A little hill, a little stream, a ridge on a mountain, and thousands of men in some of those battles died over just a little geographical place. Why was it? Because that place may have been little, but it was a foothold to going forth from that place and conquering the whole of the territory. They knew if that ridge fell, the state would fall, the country would fall. If that beachhead was made, amen, just to let them get on the beach, the next step was they're taking the country. And so thousands of people died just to hold what appeared to be a little place. You see, that's why Paul said, don't give a place or ground to the devil, because if the devil can get a foothold, from there he launches an attack to conquer all of our hearts, all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our life. So the best way to defeat the devil is don't give him a place even to begin in your life. Don't let him have it. Amen. Don't let him have place. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him place in your thoughts. Don't give him place in your emotions, the way you feel. For certain, don't give him a place in your spirit. Don't give him a place in your life. Don't give him a place in your home. Don't give him a place in your entertainment. Don't give him a place in your watching. Don't give him a place in your reading. Don't give him a place in your music. Don't give him a place in your relationships, because as soon as he gets a place, he's going to use it, however small, to launch out and take control and ruin and wreck the whole of your life. It's best never to let him get started in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, Paul is telling us here this truth. Satan can only take what we let him have. Think about that. Neither give place to the devil. He can only take what we let him have. Amen. I can start it, but many of you my age, amen, you remember and older, and I hope the younger ones have got a hold of it too, but you've heard the old English proverb, if you give Satan an inch, he'll take a mile. He will. How many of you have seen that acted out in people's lives? They gave Satan an inch, and he took a mile. Neither give place to the devil. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go here, use Brother Ryan again. And this pew right here, this is your life. This pew is your mind. This pew is your spirit. It's your salvation experience. And I want a place there. I want to sit right there. Come on, I want to sit right there. That's what Paul said. Don't give place to the devil. The only way I'm going to be able to sit down there is if he'll scoot over and make room for me. Give me a place. I mean, you know, it's time the believers realize the only ground that Satan can get in our life is the ground that we give him. Hallelujah. How many's just a little tired of giving ground to Satan? How many thinks it's time we say, Satan, you're not going to have a foothold. Since we don't want your head in here, we don't want your toe in here. Amen. We're not going to give any place to you, Satan. Amen. It is easier never to give ground to the devil than it is to try to take the ground back. I don't know if you've, I hope, this hasn't happened to you, but I know families that have let somebody with a sad story just move into their home with them. And it's usually a move they wish they'd never made. And you know what they tell you? We wish we'd never let them come to start with. You know why? It's a lot easier to say no and never let them move in than it is to try to get them out once they got in. Isn't that right? I'm not trying to be cruel, but that's a fact of life. It's easier never to give ground to Satan than to try to take it back. Oh, we could talk about a lot of things. Did you know it's easier never to visit that site on the internet than it is to try to get the images out of your mind? Amen. It's easier never to start listening to that type of music than to try to stop listening after it's got a hold of your psyche and your mind and your thinking. It's easier never to start entertaining ideas about someone that you shouldn't have than it is to stop having those thoughts about them. It's easier never to let bitterness to take root in your heart than it is to try to jerk it up after it's got its roots down. It's just easier not to get an attitude than it is to try to fix your attitude once you got it. It's easier to never give place to Satan than it is to try to take that ground back. I'm trying to preach Paul's admonition, neither give place to the devil. Amen. I'm going to work on Ryan a little more. I mean, he got rid of me. You know, I want to sit there. Amen. I'm good company. I really am. I really am. Just a little bit. I don't need much room. Hey, I'm not that big. I don't need much room. How you doing?
I wish I was sitting there.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm kind of cramped. Let's scoot up a little more. Let's scoot just a little more. Hey, amen. This is great, isn't it? I'm already on the pew.
A little more, guys. Hey.
Isn't that exactly what Satan will do? You're out of luck, bud. I mean, you give him a little spot and he'll take over. Now, you saw a while ago when I tried to sit down, it didn't take too much for Ryan to try to get me. I want you to try to get rid of me now. Try to push me back now. Try to get me off the pew now. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to never give ground than it is to try to take it back. Oh, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Don't give him an inch. Don't give him a spot. Don't give him a place. Amen. The temptation not resisted is giving ground to Satan. Evil thoughts not rejected are giving ground to Satan. Anger unresolved with your fellow member, with a fellow family member, is giving place to Satan. Sin not confessed is giving place to Satan. A hurt, you've been offended, but you won't let it heal, that's giving place to Satan. Temptation is Satan's way of trying to get into our hearts. But when we yield to temptation and give him place, we commit an act of sin. And once we've committed the act of sin, he's in our life, and he will get us to practice that sin. And that sin becomes a habit. And here's the frightful thing. You know why Satan wants to get ground? It's true with every army. As soon as the army makes the beachhead, as soon as the army gets the ground, they build fortifications. They dig in. They build up the defenses against the enemy. And I'm telling you, if you'll let me take over here, I'll bring everything I've got. I'll bring chains. I'll dig in here. Amen. I'll get riveted here. I'll bring all kinds of things to this world, and I'm going to build a stronghold. And just to let me in, you just committed an act of sin. But if you allow me to stay there, you'll have a practice of sin that becomes a habit, and the habit of sin becomes a stronghold of the enemy. He wants ground to build a stronghold. But I'm telling you, we don't have to give him ground. I'm so thankful for the scripture. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But I want you to listen to me right now. I am so tired of us dealing with strongholds in people's life, and the prayer and the reaching out and the desperation and the pain in people's life because they got a stronghold that needs to come. I'll tell you, the best way to deal with strongholds is never give Satan the ground to start with, so he has no place. He has no room. He has no territory to build his stronghold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To give Satan ground is to give him permission to build his fortifications in your life. My biggest desire is that folks be helping. Listen, you know, I tell folks this, and I trust you know it. But I'm not preaching for the sake of preaching. And the truth of the matter is, there's folks with strongholds in their life. And that'll be another sermon dealing with the strongholds. But what's more frightening tonight is there are people that are giving ground to Satan. He says, I want that. They let him have it. I want you to do this. And they do it. They give him ground. Could I tell you, it's so much better to never give him the first inch than to have to deal with him once he's got his fort built in your life. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we need to let the blood of Jesus be a barrier all around our life and say, Satan, no part of you is getting in my mind, my head, my emotions, my spirit. I'm keeping you out. But what I want to deal with just shortly, and maybe at some other time we'll deal with this more at depth, but just real shortly, you may say, well, Pastor, I feel God talking with me tonight. I realize what you are saying is true. I have given ground to the devil. Well, what I want to deal with just briefly is what to do if you have given ground to the devil. What to do? Aren't you glad with God there's always hope? I'm not going to preach on tonight, but let me tell you what one stronghold of Satan is. It's not just the problem he brought in your life. It's that he will fill you with hopelessness over the problem he brought in your life. He'll tell you your situation is hopeless. You'll never be rid of him. You'll never be rid of his problem. I want to tell you, that's not what the way God moves. When God gets ready to deal with something in our lives, it always comes with hope that he can make a difference. Aren't you glad for that? You don't have to live with the stronghold. And if Satan has taken ground, you can get the ground back. How many's ready to get the ground back? Now, I told you it's better never to give it. But I'm telling you, if you have given it, isn't it wonderful to know you can get it back? I'm going to just go through this real quickly tonight. First of all, repent and renounce the wrong. Just do that. And we're living in a world, I don't have time to get into this, but they don't want to preach repent. But let's do this again. What did John the Baptist come preaching? What did Jesus come preaching? What did Peter preach in the first sermon of Pentecost? Repent. Repent's saying, I changed my mind about this sin. I don't want this. This is wrong. This is against God. I don't want to do this. It's repentance. And repentance is not a hoop that God makes us jump through before he takes us back. Repentance is simply the way back to God. And so when I say, if you want to get rid of Satan, if you want to regain the ground he's taken, you've got to repent. That's not a trick. That's not some hoop to jump through. That is truly the way to get him off of that ground. I mean, let's start again. I don't want to ruin your coat there. But the first thing you need to do, you need to repent. And you know one way you repent? You renounce the wrong. I want you to look at me and say, I'm something in your life, by the way. I want you to look at me and point your finger at me and say, you're wrong.
You're wrong.
You're sin.
You're sin.
You're against God.
You are against God.
I don't want this evil in my life.
I don't want this evil in my life anymore.
I'm sorry I ever let it in.
God, I'm sorry I ever let it in.
See, that's where you start, getting the ground back. You repent and renounce the wrong. This is not right. Amen. Amen. And that's the way to regain the ground. Number two, we could spend a lot of time with all these, but number two, retake and reclaim what's been lost. Amen. You've given Satan ground, and I'll promise you this. If you've given Satan any ground, I'll tell you what kind of ground he took. He took the joy spot in your heart. He took the liberty spot in your life. Amen. He took the peace spot in your life. And if you want that ground back, you need to retake that place. You need to say, I want my joy back. I want my peace back. I want my devotion back. I want my passion back. My life belongs to God. Amen. And so now you're going to do this. You're going to retake it. You're going to say, that spot right there, that belongs to God.
That spot, that's God's, not yours.
You don't belong there.
You do not belong.
I want you out.
I want you out.
I'm going to take that place back to where it ought to be. You don't have to say all that, but say this. I want my joy back.
I want my joy back.
I want my peace back.
I want my peace.
I want my liberty to worship back.
I want my liberty to worship back.
I'm going to retake that place. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to reclaim it. Thirdly, you need to remove and wreck the strongholds. And I'll deal with this another time. But I want to tell you basically in a package what the stronghold of Satan is. It is the deception. It is the lie that a person, a believer, has told themselves to justify sin in their life. I'm telling you, Satan always weaves a fabric of lies and deception in our life. Amen. You get rid of all the wrong thoughts you have. You get rid of your arguments for the sin. You get rid of your justification. You admit it's become a habit. You admit it's become the pattern. You cancel. You break off the relationship that lets Satan in. You admit that that thing is destroying your life. You break down the lies. And so what you need to do here, you need to tell me, you are a deception.
You're a deception.
You've been lying to me.
You've been lying to me.
I've been justifying you.
I've been justifying you.
But you're wrong.
But you're wrong.
You're like your father, the devil.
You're like your father, the devil.
You're a lie.
You're a lie.
It's not true. I know I've tried to justify it to people. I know I've tried to say I'm okay. Everything's all right. There's nothing wrong with this. But the bottom line is I have been deceived. Tear it down. I want to tell you the way you tear it down is just to be willing to admit that it is not the truth. Amen. I'm telling all through this, the thread through everything I'm preaching is what Jesus said. He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I want you to know we got to get the converse of that. If the truth will set you free, lies will bind you. Deception will bind you. Justification will bind you every time. But aren't you glad there is a truth that will tear down the deception of Satan? Hallelujah. Fourthly, you've renounced it. You've reclaimed it. He said, that's God's spot. You've torn down the strongholds. You said, I've been justifying. This is deception. But I'm telling you what you need to do next is to rebuild with truth. You got rid of the stronghold of Satan. Don't leave that spot empty. Build the fortifications of truth of God's word in your life. And I know in a very practical sense, that's claiming and standing upon the promises of God. It's memorizing scripture. It's taking in the word of God when it's preached. But get into the word. Get the truths that address that problem that you had. Get into the word. Get the truths that address that sin. Answer the temptation with the truth of God's word. And once you get into the word, it's time to start telling the truth. Tell the truth to yourself. I can't handle that. That leads me away from God. That takes my thoughts away from God. Just tell the truth about yourself. Tell your truth. Tell the truth about that sin, that problem. It's not right. It's never done anything but bring heartache and ruin and wreck in my life. Tell yourself the truth about Satan. He's never been anybody's friend. I don't care what he's promised. He always comes with destruction and ruin and heartache and wreck. I'm telling you the truth. How many? I want to say it again. The truth will set you free. It's just time to tell the truth. Amen. Somebody's concerned for you. Somebody that loves you and says, I'm concerned for you. Can I pray with you? And you look at them and say, I'm all right. And you know you're not all right. You know the struggle. You know the ground given up. You know the struggle. It's just time to tell the truth. Look at them and say, thank God that he prompts your heart to pray for me. I do need prayer. I do need help. I'm tired of this thing having victory in my life. And then last of all, rule the thoughts. Again, all these are messages in themselves. But I'm telling you, the battle is in our thoughts. How many knows how many times, especially in conjunction with the end times, Scripture admonishes us to be sober-minded, which that doesn't mean there's other scriptures for that. That doesn't mean stay away from the alcohol. That means discipline your thoughts. Gird up the loins of your thinking. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, this world is filled with so much trash. I mean, people, even believers, want to try to justify it. But 99% of what's on the television is filth. I'm talking about the prime time. It's filth. Amen. The songs. And if people were being honest, if they were honest as a believer, they would say it's destroying them, ruining them, ruining their minds. Amen. But the thing is, remember, it's in the thoughts. Amen. Keep the mind pure. Keep it clean. Whatsoever things are lovely and pure and honest and of good report, think on these things. Don't think the things of the world would depress anybody. Amen. Rule your thoughts. There are thoughts you don't let in. Amen. Thoughts about your brother, thoughts about your sister, thoughts of bitterness, thoughts of anger. You just don't let them in. Amen. Thoughts of an easier way, thoughts of the pleasures of the world. You say, those aren't the thoughts I'm going to think. Amen. I'm going to think God's thoughts. I'm going to think things about God, who He is, what His kingdom is. I'm going to think about salvation and love and mercy and grace. Hallelujah. How many knows He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind? Our world's messed up. They're messed up in their thoughts. Oh, but if we can get our thoughts full of the Word, full of truth, oh, what a transformation. I'm talking about getting the ground back. We gave it up by having the wrong thoughts. We regain it by having the right thoughts. Hallelujah. Well, all of this has been a bit different. But how many's ready to regain, get the ground back? I remember years ago, you know, some people don't have a lot of trouble with thoughts because they just don't have much thoughts to start with. They have one about one every 30 minutes. But how many be honest and say, I know what you're talking about when you have trouble with it. Come on, I'm not saying you're saying you're dirty minded. I'm saying you got to admit your battle is in your thoughts. And I remember one time as a single evangelist, and I won't tell you what the devil began to pester me about. He began to pester me when I was preaching. You know, that can happen. Sometimes people kind of pester you when you're preaching, but the devil can pester you when you're preaching. And I'd get in a habit when he got to pester me, I'd move the microphone every once in a while. Get out of here. Well, he was really pestering one night, and I forgot to move the microphone. I was just preaching away. Oh, the love of God is rich and full. And I said, devil, you get out of here and leave me alone. 12 people left. No, I'm joking. You know what I was doing? I was taking control of those thoughts. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's a peace of Christ that can rule your heart and your mind? Oh, hallelujah. How many knows it's time to get the ground back? This is different. They may not even know it because you just got it together. I want the youth choir to come and sing that about taking back the ground. Amen. I want you to listen as they sing. And when you can tell they're about through with the song and you want to get the ground back, I want you to come up to the front here and lift up your heart and hands and say, I'm ready to get ground back. I should have never given him place to the devil, but thank God for his mercy. God's going to help me take the ground back tonight. Don't you know that'd be a glorious thing? Oh, hallelujah. I'll just preach till they get all up here and ready. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too much ground surrendered. Too much ground conceded. Too much ground given up. It'll never work. Satan gets the foothold. He'll take over the life. But thank God for a way to get the ground back. Hallelujah. How many would rather be full of God, full of His presence? Amen. Sing, young people. How many's ready to come and take back some ground? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's fill these altars. I'm going to take back what the enemy's stolen from me. Hallelujah. I'm getting the ground back. I'm taking the ground back. Hallelujah. 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 That's it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, that's it, that's it, that's it, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's get the ground back. The Lord.